from England to Brazil.
It doesn't matter because he's going in. It's Neymar.
Germany to Argentina.
Allá con Maldano Maradona.
We've got you covered. This is The Throw-In, brought to you by Little Woodrose on Burnett Road. Here are your hosts, Kit McConico, Justin Simmons.
This has got more curves, Stewart, than Jessica Rabbit on steroids.
And Zach Christodoulidis. Have you ever had to say your last name? Christodoulidis? And Zach Christodoulidis.
Yeah, could I speak to Sir Alex Ferguson, please?
Can I kick?
Happy Sunday morning, Austin, Texas. This is The Throw-In every Sunday at 9. You're home for all things the beautiful game. So glad to have you with us. A special 16 de septiembre, Día de Independencia. Feliz Día de Independencia. Hi! A nuestros amigos mexicanos. Hi! Justin con el grito y en temprano.
That was horrible, man. I'm sorry.
That was a poor excuse for a grito.
I'll try better on the next go around.
There we go. Our friends in the red, white, and green are very disappointed. Justin will do better, we assure you. So glad to have you with us, as always. A lot to get to today. We'll be talking USA and Mexico. We'll be talking some Premier League. Go around the world. A great segment from our man, Alistair McAllister, as well. All that and more. As always, we invite you to join the conversation. 337-3776 is the text line. Or give us a call, 447-3776. I'm your host, Kit McConico, joined as always by a man who has already introduced himself, the one and only Smash Simmons, and the Greek god. That's right, Zach Christodoulidis behind the glass.
So we're going to start this week's show off with that. We started last week's show off with the Vuvuzelas. Are we just trying to kill our audience?
We are. We are doing the best we possibly can. We are lucky. We have a very loyal audience, and we are testing their loyalty. I was out last week under the weather. You guys with the Vuvuzelas, I went back and listened to it. Kind of glad I missed that, not going to lie.
I thought that was why you took the week off.
Because of the Vuvuzelas?
Yeah, because you knew they were coming. You had the inside scoop as to when they were going to be delivered. And again, special thanks goes to UT Soccer.
Yeah, huge thanks to the University of Texas Soccer, their head coach, Ange Kelly. She joined us 2 weeks ago. If you missed it, you missed any of today's show or previous shows, check us out on iTunes, The Throw-In ATX. That is where we are located, on Twitter and as well on Facebook, The Throw-In ATX. Check out our Twitter photo today, who wore it best. Throwing a little shade at the Bajito Mexicanos, if you will. Sorry, Justin, had to play that part.
Well, I mean, we are set it perfectly for the role.
You know? It worked out quite nicely, I'm not going to lie. Gentlemen, that's where we'll start today. Before we get to EPL, before we get to everything else we have going on, let's talk about this 1-0 victory for the red, white, and blue over El Tri. A fiery friendly was the title that our friend Arch Bell gave it in his ESPN FC column. I think that's appropriate. But it's a friendly. Yes, I understand it's USA-Mexico, but how much do you take away from this 1-0 win? How much stock do you put in it?
Not much. And I mean, I get it. We want to try to build off of any victory with the youth of the Americans, but the truth is, this isn't like a top-tier Mexican team either that the U.S. faced.
No, guys.
And
this is a big win for us. I'm going all in. I think that this was a chance for the kids to prove that they have what it takes to not only perform in a big game, but against your number one rival. This is huge. We got the win.
This comes from a University of Texas football fan who thinks they won the national title last night because they beat USC. So Texas will be playing Alabama in January. Mark your calendars.
So are you trying to tell me that, one, Texas is back, and two, the United States is back?
Well, okay, according to my favorite Twitter source, @IsTexasFootballBack.
The answer to that has been an emphatic no for about a decade.
After every game, it's been no, no, no. But after last night's game, they said yes. So yes, we are back. Okay. But I do think that this, honestly, the win for the U.S. men's national team, that was huge.
But what was impressive about it?
It wasn't a pretty win.
Exactly.
It was not a pretty win.
Absolutely nothing. We have still not found an identity, even with this new crop of players.
Okay, so say that we came out and we performed really well. We won by 10 goals. Does that necessarily mean anything either? No, it's an international friendly. It's never going to mean anything. But the fact that we can still show up and get a result with it.
I'm going to take the middle ground on this one. It was a good win for the U.S. With a young team, it was good to get a victory over Mexico. Obviously, it's always good to get a victory over your rival. But, I mean, Mexico, this is Mexico without Chicharito, without Guardado, without Marquez, who's future or soon-to-be AARP member. But even so, this was by far from Mexico's best team. And think about this.
Well,
this was a Mexican team that got absolutely obliterated by the Celeste of Uruguay the Friday previous to this. I personally think that still had a lasting effects on Mexico.
Well, there's a lot of parallels between those two teams that you just described. Then, I mean, you say it's a Mexican team that's not at their full potential. Neither was the U.S. men's national team. I mean, we didn't have Pulisic, and we also were coming off of, I mean, it was a less devastating defeat to Brazil, but it was still a loss nonetheless.
But I will agree in the fact that both teams were under new leadership for this game, in a sense where neither person was installed as the head man for the job at this moment for either side.
That's a great point, and I think that is much more important for the U.S. than for Mexico. If Mexico will find somebody, the U.S. needs to find a permanent head coach. It is a massive problem. You can't continue to not have somebody in charge.
But I want you to take, Zach, I know you're really strong on the U.S. performance, but I want you to take away the stunning goal, because, I mean, it was a stunner.
Yeah.
But without that game ends more than likely 0-0. I'm not going to say that the U.S. didn't create chances, but they were very sloppy. It's been the same issue for years now, is that they just don't have the technical skill on the ball to keep possession. It's very sloppy in possession, and Mexico looks stunning when they had the ball at their feet.
Mexico certainly looked better with possession than the USA did. That much I'll agree with. For somebody who for years now has been saying, get the young blood into the team, get the old guard out, I was tired of watching the U.S. play with guys, as much as I love him, Clint Dempsey, Donovan previous to him. I want to see these young guys get a shot, especially in these games, in these friendlies that don't matter. You're not trying to qualify for a tournament. Get these young players time. I would be fine. Obviously, we don't want to lose, especially not to Mexico, but a win with these young guys, it's good for the U.S. It's good for their confidence. I'm all for it.
And Kit, to be honest, that's why I'm surprised that you're not more in my camp. The fact that this was a win with the kids. We let the kids play, and guess what? They were successful. I think it's the first time in a while that we've been able to say that.
I mean, I'm glad that they were successful. Don't get me wrong. A win against Mexico is always nice to see, regardless if it's in the World Cup or
Says
if it's
the man
just
who started our show with a grito.
Hey, man, my mouth was a little dry. Too much drinking last night. What can I say? I'm still in recovery. Zach knows what I'm talking about. He was there.
Yes, I was. We don't need to talk about that right now, though.
And I'm still a little salty in the fact that Canelo Alvarez won that fight against Triple G. I'm sorry, man. That's just one of those things. And see, even Joe knows.
Okay. This is a soccer show, but I will digress because it is the SEC's. There's no way Canelo won that fight. But you're not going to lose a fight on... Your Mexican's not going to lose a fight.
I know.
The night before Independence Day. It's just not going
to
happen.
It was impressive. Both guys were able to walk through just punches that would have knocked down lesser fighters. But still, Triple G won that fight. Just saying. But in the case of Mexico versus the United States, I still think Mexico going forward is in a better position to succeed, especially when you're looking forward to the Gold Cup, when you're looking at qualification for CONCACAF and their Champions League, or not for the Champions League, but for the CONCACAF Gold Cup as well as the World Cup.
That's a great question, and I want to put that out to the listeners. Who currently is in a better situation for the future, Mexico or the USA? Which one of these two teams do you think has a better shot? Is it this young U.S. side that we saw? Is it Mexico? Yes. I mean, you can argue they have more talent. We didn't see those guys last night. To be quite honest, I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with who takes control of both of these sides. They both need a coach. They both need a long-term coach. Tuca Ferretti is not the long-term guy. He doesn't want to be the long-term guy. Mexico needs to find somebody. And Mexico, like a lot of countries, has a problem getting someone in there for any length of time. He'll come in for a tournament. He'll come in for 6-9 months, maybe a year. They need to find someone to really take control. And the U.S. has the same issue. I mean, it wasn't Klinsmann, obviously. It wasn't Arena. He was a stopgap. The United States needs to find the person who is going to be in charge, who can navigate and pilot the way for the future of this national team.
Yeah, but that seems like it's asking a lot at this point, just because they haven't been able to find the replacement when we thought we had the replacement. And with all the added red tape that U.S. soccer has produced with the hiring of a general manager and still not being able to fill this position, it just doesn't seem like we're going to find the right fit anyways when it comes down to it.
We want to know what you think. 337-3776.
And those of you who missed it on last week's show, we ran through the list of shortlist candidates for that position. And if you want to hear that conversation again, you always can. It's on our podcast.
I have another question for you guys. how desirable of a job is this to be the U.S. national team manager? Is it a desirable job? Zach says it's not at all.
No.
I'm inclined to agree with him. I don't think it's a desirable job.
You know what? Sadly, the U.S. job has almost turned into I'm going to say it. The English job. Because the England job, when you're going into that type of environment, your expectations are way too high. The talent level's not there. And the results that you're expecting are not going to come.
And the bar for success is also that much higher. Like, in order for you to be quote-unquote successful, you have to basically win the World Cup.
For England or for the U.S.?
Well, I think for either.
I completely disagree. If the bar for the U.S. manager is to win the World Cup, that is the most ridiculous.
Okay, let's start small then. I guess qualify for the World Cup?
Yeah, I was about to say. You can't win the World Cup if you're not even in the World Cup.
Well, let me ask you guys this question. Even without qualifying for the last World Cup, where is the bar for the current head coach, for the future head coach for the U.S. men's national team? Because I still think that the final eight should be where the U.S. could be and should be within the next generation of players.
I think it's much lower than that. Again,
you're saying it's just second round of 16?
I'm saying it's get into the World Cup. And I don't want to be the pessimist, but you can't talk about getting to the final eight when you're not even in the competition. You cannot qualify for the World Cup out of CONCACAF. Do you know what kind of disgrace that is?
I'm well aware.
This is against Guatemala, Nicaragua, Panama, TNT. Yes, the mighty soccer warriors are incredible. Come on.
We got to play one country at a time. We can't play Trinidad and Tobago. We have to choose one or the other. That's how we win that game.
I think we take on Tobago. They're much smaller.
I tend to agree.
Coming up after the break, we will switch gears. We'll talk some EPL, Liverpool, Tottenham. Bring on our friend Joe Houston. Talk some Reds in that one. We'll also talk some Man United just for the Greek god himself. As always, Jose Mourinho finds a way to make headlines. All that and more coming up after this on 104.9 The Horn, where Austin talks sports, where Austin talks soccer.
Back to the throw-in. Here are your hosts.
All these people are idiots.
Kit McConico and Justin Simmons.
Welcome back. This is the throw-in, talking all things the beautiful game, local, national, international. Make sure you check us out on iTunes, the throw-in ATX. That is where we are located on Twitter and Facebook. I'm your host, Kit McConico, the Smash Simmons. Zach Christodoulidis, as always, joining you. We're talking some USA, Mexico. We want to know your thoughts. Who is in better shape for future success, El Tri or the Red, White, and Blue? 337-3776 is the text line. Switching gears a bit, we're going to talk some EPL, specifically yesterday's Liverpool-Tottenham match. But before we get to that, it would not be a throw-in show without news about either Zlatan or Cristiano, and we've got to start with the God of Goals, as he has dubbed himself. Always one for modesty, Zlatan. but give him credit. I mean, he got his 500th goal combined for club and country, and it was an absolute stunner for the LA Galaxy.
It was like some sort of video game windmill kick, something that you would have saw in Street Fighter, more so than in a soccer match. I know the guy practices Taekwondo, but The most impressive thing about that goal is, and Zach, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that he landed on the surgical knee, right?
Yeah, so I mean, how he was able to score that and complete that move without completely busting up his knee again is beyond me.
Pretty impressive from a 36-year-old who has 17 goals in his 22 appearances for LA.
And that being said, LA, don't get too excited. You still lost that game 5-3.
But Zlatan didn't care about that because
I think Zlatan cared a little bit.
I don't think so. Post game, he said, obviously, and this is, hold on, let me get my Zlatan voice.
Yes, please.
Obviously, it's not good to lose, but I'm happy for Toronto because they will be remembered as my 500th victim. I don't know why he sounds like Ivan Drago, but it seems to fit.
Because he's tall and imposing. It just works. And you're still going off the boxing theme from last night. So yeah, you're tying it all together.
Thank you, Justin. That is why we pay you the big bucks.
gets money?
Justin makes no money.
Pay me in scotch.
Just like the rest of us. We're all poor. I didn't know he scored 156 goals for PSG.
But he was their superstar before Neymar. It's not like he wasn't good at PSG.
No, I mean, he's always been good. 150 for PSG, 66 for Inter, 56 for AC, 48 for Ajax.
How many for Manchester United?
Four. No, 29.
But the thing,
26 for Juve, 22 for Barca, 18 for Malmo, his original club, and 62 for the Swedish national team.
But you know, the knock against Ibra, it's always going to be kind of like Dan Marino for those people that want that Sunday NFL football reference for you. We got out of the way early today. They're great players, but they just don't have the talent around them to win anything meaningful.
Well, this is the first time that Zlatan hasn't had the talent around him to do anything meaningful.
Yeah.
No. I mean, the Galaxy has talent.
Certainly played
no,
for
they
good
do
clubs,
not.
But
what talent does the Galaxy have?
The Dos Santos brothers?
Okay, but when you put that in combination with what Zlatan has, it still doesn't make a good team.
Well, apparently it's a coaching issue as well.
Oh, it's not just a coaching issue. Well, the issue was that they bought Zlatan. They bought Zlatan for way too much money, they can't pay him.
They bought Zlatan to sell jerseys. They didn't buy him for anything else. They didn't buy him to win games. They bought him to sell jerseys and get people to go to games. Well, if they win, that's just icing.
Be that as it may, by buying him, they made it so that their team isn't any good. They have a superstar player that's going to be making names and, yes, selling jerseys. But
sounds like the MLS to me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they got exactly what they paid for, because right now we're talking about Zlatan and his 500th goal instead of the fact that Toronto won. Apparently, him and Michael Bradley had shared some words a little later on after that match. And it was extremely funny, because Zlatan had said that they were discussing football philosophy. And he was like, who is this guy to tell me what to do? Because he knows how to score goals and Michael Bradley can't.
His father was the head coach for the U.S. national team. Michael Bradley knows what he's talking about.
I will say this. I think no one has had a bigger fall than Toronto in terms of a Major League Soccer team this season. Like, they had such high expectations going into this year, and they have just been on a rock slide down. It's been pretty bad.
I'm thinking it's the same issue that Tottenham's facing this year. Didn't make any changes in the offseason. You're 1 year older. You're coming off of a successful year for your club. In this case, for Toronto, they won the championship.
Well,
but.
And the funny thing for Toronto is that they actually did go out. They spent a lot of money. They spent a lot of money on big players, and it somehow seemed to make them worse. That seems to be a recurring theme in Major League Soccer.
Good segue, as we will switch gears, talking some EPL. Liverpool and Tottenham yesterday, 2-1 victory for the Reds, as they are now 100% on the season, top of the Premier League. Before we get to Liverpool, buddy Joe Houston, big Liverpool fan, joining us in the studio. Let's talk about Tottenham a bit. I know we have a lot of Spurs fans, Lee Nichols, and a lot of guys with the Austin Spurs. I mean, they're never going to be one of those top four, top five teams. They may finish in the top four, top five, but they're never going to be United, City, Chelsea, dare I say Arsenal, certainly not Liverpool. Yes, they're playing at Wembley and they've got all this, but I don't see it from them. I don't know what it is, and maybe I'm biased. I mean, you can say I am all you want, but think about this. Just over a year ago, it was 4-1. I mean, Tottenham crushed Liverpool at Wembley. This was a totally different match.
Yeah, 100%. It seemed to me like this offseason, Tottenham was just happy with what they did the previous season. They decided, hey, we're good. We just got to work on a little bit of chemistry. We'll be fine. We can go up against the big boys again and not have a problem. All the other teams added players, and Tottenham, they're still going to be a team that takes points off of good teams that are fighting for the title, but they're not going to be a team that's actually fighting for a title themselves.
I think it's a great point. And my question has always been, is Tottenham content to finish in the top four? Are they content to get into European play and make that Champions League money? Is that enough for them?
To me, it seems like, I know a few Tottenham fans, and every time I talk to them about anything, they're obsessed with Harry Kane, and then they're also...
Oh, they all are. They're what obsessed. Is up with that?
Dude,
Justin's obsessed with Harry Kane.
I mean, how can you... But how can you not be, man? The guy's rated an 88 in the new FIFA, all right? He's like on par with...
Which is all that matters in Justin's world.
Oh, sorry, 89.
You already know that.
He is basically Lewandowski, a little slower, but he's still... The guy scored the most goals at the World Cup this year. How much more credit...
Those were...
Oh, I know, hey man, you're at the right place at the right time. Chicharito gifted. Has made a living off of that. How can you not give this guy credit at this point?
So he's a quality player, but he's not an Aguero. He's not. I mean, I'm a big Liverpool fan, so I love Roberto Firmino. He doesn't produce whenever it comes to goals, but the guy is an impact on all aspects of the game. he's not going to be he might score a lot of goals, but he's not going to be your big striker that's going to score goals in the Champions League. He's not going to show up against these huge teams, and he's not going to get them trophies.
Well, he's broken the streak about scoring in August, so he's finally broken that. And they haven't really had a chance to perform in Champions League. He's really just broken into his prime maybe the last two seasons in Champions League for the first time last year. So I think he just needs a little time.
Want to know what you think. 337-3776 is the text line. I love this text. First, we have two texts here referring to the Dos Santos brothers, who Justin obviously has an affinity for. They need to lay off the Tommy Burger, says the texture. But this one is much better. Tottenham is Oklahoma State. Competitive, but not consistent enough to be a giant. Could not agree more.
Well, and what you guys were saying earlier about them, you know, maybe just being content to, you know, be in the top four and maybe, you know, get some of that Champions League money. To me, it sounds like you're almost comparing them to Arsenal, like the new team that's just there to make money.
And they're the new Arsenal?
They're the new Arsenal. If Arsenal's going to actually go out and spend money on these players, something that they haven't really done in the past, they're content to just be in the black in terms of money. Maybe that's what Tottenham's trying to do.
And that is far from a compliment, by the way.
I think my question is, if you're a Tottenham fan, what was the move that was needed to be made in the offseason? Because you have the World Cup winning goalie in Lloris. He's hurt, obviously. He always has injury problems for some odd reason. You have the top scorer from the World Cup in Harry Kane. You have one of the most exciting players coming off the bench in Son, who's just returning from the Asian Games and finally winning in true career back. You have good midfield players. You have Lamela, who came off the bench and scored for. So I was just like, it's crazy. They have the talent.
But Joe said it, and I couldn't agree more. Everyone else went out and strengthened their side. Everyone else went out and bought players of quality. Tottenham didn't. What do you think about this? And I mentioned that 4-1 Tottenham victory last October at Wembley. Tottenham had six guys from that game who started yesterday's match. Liverpool only had four. Gomez, Milner, Salah, and Firmino. I mean, Liverpool went out and strengthened their side. This is a side that was playing for a Champions League title a year ago, less than a year ago, and they went out and tried to get better. Tottenham didn't. Tottenham seems very happy to stand pat.
But I think that they just couldn't sign anybody that would fit their scheme
because
in the system.
This is where I go to the texture about Tottenham being a giant. Liverpool can sign players Tottenham can't. City, United, Chelsea can sign players. Maybe even Arsenal. Top-tier players, guys like Agüero, who Joe mentioned, Agüero's not going to go to Tottenham.
You're
not going to get players like that for the Spurs.
Are you saying there's nothing sexy about a Tottenham Hotspur kit playing in that?
The jersey's fine. The kit's great.
But no, I'm just saying, like, in terms of,
yes,
like, being a big club.
It
like,
doesn't
that's
have the cachet. They're not giants, and I agree with that. You're not going to get giant players if you're not a giant club.
And to me, it seems like they are content. If they can finish above Arsenal every year, they're content. That's their title. Are they doing better than Arsenal?
Okay. Oh yeah, it's their litmus test right there.
That's a really high bar.
Yeah, yeah. Especially recently.
The Real Alistair chimes in on via Twitter. I don't know how he was able to do this, but he says the problem with Harry Kane is that he can't help being English.
Does he have Wi-Fi in his mother's basement in Aberdeen?
He must.
It might be that dial-up that he plugs it straight into the computer. I know they have to pay taxes on that over there.
English strikers.
Yep, there's something like it. Talking Liverpool and Tottenham from yesterday.
But let me ask you this. If he's so bad, why is Real Madrid want him?
Oh, man.
The hype train?
Yeah.
The hype train
from the last World Cup. They see the awards he's won.
They need a new British punching bag once Bale leaves.
Exactly. They need somebody else who
fans.
The English. Hey, there are a lot of English expats living in Spain. They need them to be a fan of Madrid, sell some jerseys. Real Madrid doesn't care. They have more money. I mean, they don't care at all. So he shows up. He scores a few goals. Great.
Let me ask you guys about Liverpool really quick. Are they playing for the Premier League title this year? Or is this a team that made enough moves to win Champions League since they were so close last season?
Depth-wise, they added tons of depth. They added in the midfield. That was the biggest problem last season is they kind of ran thin. They had their top three. They had the front three. They had some decent midfielders, but they added Keita. They added Shaqiri. They added Fabinho. They added world-class players that are coming off the bench. So I think they actually will be trying to go for both.
But they lost world-class players. I mean, you lost Kahn, and more importantly, you lost Coutinho. Coutinho's an absolute stud. Yeah, you made £142 million off him. That's fantastic. That's a large chunk of change. We all know this. If you're going to compete in your domestic competition, if you're going to compete in Champions League, you have to have a ridiculously deep squad. You have to be able to play in two, maybe three competitions at a time. We've seen that. But right now, teams are prioritizing Champions League. The domestic leagues have less and less cachet. Yeah, you always want to win your league. You always want to win Bundesliga, La Liga, Serie A, EPL, whatever the case may be. But you're going to make the real money. You're going to get the notoriety winning Champions League. And if I'm Liverpool, as close as they got last year, that has to be your number one target.
But they haven't won the Premier League since it's become the Premier League. So I think there's that.
But if you have a choice between winning Champions League and the Premier League, that's a foregone conclusion. Ooh. Nobody's going to say the Premier League over the Champions League.
Hey, I understand. But Stevie G, he won the Champions League, and that still wasn't enough to quench the fire, so to speak.
I think maybe the one fan base that might take an EPL title over a Champions League title is the Liverpool fan base, just because it's been so long and we hear about it all the time, and you had teams like Leicester that have won it. So anytime you bring up, oh, I'm a Liverpool fan and one of the most historic clubs, are like, yeah, but you haven't won it in your lifetime.
Yeah, you have to say Mighty Leicester on this show. You can't just say Leicester. It is the Mighty Foxes of Leicester. You have to pump them up as much as you possibly can,
fair enough.
Future reference.
As a Manchester United fan, I just want to be relevant again. When is that going
to
happen?
When you get a new manager who knows how to walk?
Yeah, okay.
And you guys busted out the pink kits again yesterday?
Oh, God, those things are so ugly. Terrible.
Someone washed a white kit in with the reds, and that they came up with that.
That's like when you're first learning to do your own laundry and you don't know how to sort colors.
Yeah. Yes, it's exactly what happened.
Somebody should have been fired for that. No. It's a good question. When will United be relevant again? To be perfectly honest, I don't know. And you see these teams. We talk about Liverpool making moves in the offseason, strengthening their side.
Well, let's be honest, though.
Chelsea did the same thing. I think City, to a lesser extent.
City is stacked pretty much at almost every position. We were talking about Premier League fantasy before we even came on the show.
Here we go.
Man City is the New England Patriots of fantasy sports when it comes to soccer, because you just don't know who's going to start. You don't know who's going to sit. You don't know what he's going to run out that day. He might just decide to bench everybody and put in the second squad because you just don't know what Pep is going to do next.
You lost me at fantasy sports.
Well, I mean, at least you're not losing this year.
That's because I'm not competing.
Hey, well, if you don't try, you don't lose, right? Win-win.
That's the saying.
Talking some EPL here on the throw-in. 337-3776 is the text line. We want your thoughts. Obviously, I mean, for United, Zach, back to your question, they're going to have to figure out a way. And you're having this animosity, and let's be perfectly honest, that's what it is, between Mourinho and his club. I mean, the players, for whatever reason, they do not want to play for him. Generally, I think one of Mourinho's strengths as a manager is that he connects with his players. He takes pressure off them. He's the one who will go to the media. He will fall on the sword, so to speak. I don't see that this season.
Well, it's his third season, and that's kind of
wait. That's what I forgot.
Well, and Mourinho's second seasons are the ones that have always been, you know, gangbusters. That's when he's won all the titles, but that didn't happen last year. So the question is going to be, will United fans have patience? And I already see that foundation starting to crumble a little bit.
We asked this a few weeks ago, but it bears repeating, going back to, does he make it through the season?
If things keep going the way they have been through the first few weeks, I think that by the end of the season, he's definitely going to be on the hot seat. I think you look at it, he's going to have, maybe he'll make it through the season, but maybe not the postseason. I think at the end of the year, this might be it if he can't get a result somewhere.
But what about if you guys miraculously, and I'm not going to say it's going to happen, but you win the Premier League?
That would probably help him keep his job. But I mean, here's the thing, guys. They finished second last year, and he's already, you know,
on the hot seat
starting this year. Like, to me, that's a little bit ridiculous, but not entirely undeserved. I think that because he's made his brand for being the chosen one, the special one, he kind of brought this on himself.
And it was second to possibly the best team that's ever played in the EPL. That squad last year, the way they played, incredible. So he got second place to that. Most other clubs would be like, yep, you know what, that's okay. Not okay for United, which speaks a lot to how big of a club it is and how important it is.
And yeah, and how high the expectations are year in and year out.
You talk about being relevant. Liverpool, something I think Liverpool fans most would agree upon, that they want to be relevant. Last year, they were relevant for the first time in some time. They want to be a team that's talked about. United, this is something that they're relevant every year. And if they're not relevant for a year, they don't know what to do. It's something they are totally unaccustomed to. So if United isn't at least in the hunt, if they're not in the mix, I don't know that Mourinho makes it through the season.
He might get cut halfway through the season. If they lose a couple, they lose a game or two in a row to teams they shouldn't lose to, he's probably going to be gone pretty quickly after that, unfortunately.
But I don't think it's so unfortunate. As a Manchester United fan, I think the next coach is probably going to be a better fit.
I know, but the question is always is like, who would be a better fit for this United squad? You've taken all the chosen ones. You've taken the guy that was the chosen one and ignored it by the guy that was the one.
No, let's not talk about that. We don't need to talk about that coach.
It's like, how many more? Are you going to go
the
take another Scottish guy?
Powerful David Moyes.
Oh, let's not. Please.
Yeah, Justin brings up a good point.
Who's better than Mourinho?
Who is it going to be? Who are you going to find that has, and yes, it's his third year and he always collapses. We get it, but pedigree-wise, he's one of the best coaches in the world. You're not going to get Guardiola. You're not going to get Simeone. Who could you get that would be better than Jose Mourinho?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get back to you on that one. I think
we'll be waiting.
Yeah, good point. Don't hold your breath for my response. But, I honestly don't know. But there's got to be someone that the fans would appreciate more.
Would you be happier if United just went to the old blood, so to speak, and took somebody from the glory days that's never coached before, like Paul Scholes or somebody like that, and just instantly installed him as the first team manager?
Yeah, I don't think I'd be entirely disappointed in that. I think that you could definitely win back some of the Manchester United fans.
But what if he doesn't win games?
It doesn't matter. They can rest on their laurels and talk about what a great player he was.
You guys are becoming Liverpool.
No. You know who I'd love to see? Actually, Ryan Giggs. Why not let him try?
He was a pretty good
interim manager.
I personally think he would be a great fit. That's just my two cents. Want to know what you think? 337-3776 is the text line. This comes in. Oh, Zach, I flipped on the Man U game yesterday.
Here we go.
And thought I was watching Beckham's Inter-Miami debut. Ooh, it's hard to argue with.
I don't really have a response to that.
I mean, I'm pretty sure those are the kit colors that Miami Inter International
will wear. It's the same quality of play.
Pretty much. At least
Beckham somewhere in the stands watching.
That's rough.
Yeah. Sorry, I mean, that was a really good text.
Like, guys, you're not gonna ever see me wearing that pink kit. It's just not gonna happen.
Well, maybe somebody gets it for you. One of our fans.
No.
If you guys send the pink kit to Zach, we'll make sure we get a photo.
You know what? By the way,
we're gonna have to make that somehow into our Manchester Derby bet. I think.
Ooh, that thing is absolutely hideous.
It's coming up.
Even if I'm the loser has to wear the Manchester United pink kit, no matter what. Even if it's me.
Man. So before we hit the break, can we talk about City and how good? I mean, Chelsea was good yesterday, but City, I mean, think about it.
I was trying to cut you some slack. I was going to go to break before Justin had a chance to get him in, but yes.
Go ahead.
I know, not the best performance that they had last week, but this week they come right back and they're right on form, and they didn't even need Aguero. It's like if somebody has an off game, they have enough talent to kind of see their way through. And defensively, they're a much better squad this year, especially with the midfield as it progresses, and that's without De Bruyne.
I agree with you. This is it's a deeper side. They will certainly compete for a Premier League title. The real question is, can they compete for a Champions League title? Because that's what they are after. Make no mistake about it.
If De Bruyne can come back at near 100% during that later part in the run, and I'm thinking that this time off is really going to help that, then yes. Because they need one of the best midfielders in the world to achieve that goal of winning Champions League.
Oh, this text comes in. I don't like it. Bruce Arena to Old Trafford.
Oh! People were really giving it to Zach this morning.
Hey, who would you take? Michael Bradley or Bruce Arena? Because, I mean, Bradley has Premier League experience now. 14 days at Swansea, I'm just saying.
Well, it can't be worse than that. Yeah, I'd go for him.
Hey, who was the guy that was the fake coach of Tottenham when NBC bought the Premier League rights?
Ted Lasso.
That's right. How about Ted Lasso?
Yeah. I would take him over Bradley or Bruce Arena.
Or Mourinho. I mean, you know, just throw that out there.
Oh, coming up after the break, we will go around the world here from Alistair McAllister. We have heard that he is somehow added to his segment. So that should be interesting, and we will wrap things up here on the Throw-In, 104.9 The Horn, your source for all things soccer.
Welcome back to the Throw-In.
Welcome back. Final segment on the Throw-In. You missed any of it? Check us out on iTunes, the Throw-In ATX. We're on Twitter and Facebook. Throw-In ATX, as always, we invite you to join the conversation. Continues all week long. Justin is always making friends on social media. I'll put it that way. That's
making nice more friends than some of the people on social media.
Yeah. You have some friends in Columbus? Have they invited you to come visit?
I can't say that they've been too friendly to me.
Yeah, it's kind of just how things are for us Austinites. Gentlemen, it is time to go around the world.
It's time to go around the world.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane.
Fueled by Breakfast Tacos.
We begin at Wembley Stadium. Jose Mourinho having trouble walking upright, but he said it was all on purpose. He fell down, and it was a good dive, was his quote.
So I'm going to bring up a former Manchester United manager, and we'll see if maybe it rings a bell as to maybe explaining what happened here.
When I don't drink too much red wine, then maybe.
That's exactly what I was thinking about.
We miss you. The quotes were fantastic. Mourinho just somehow figures out a way to get in. It's not going to be from the quality that he's exhibiting, his players are exhibiting on the pitch, so it falls down.
It's always the referee.
I can't argue with that. This is for Justin. Neymar and PSG have formed a partnership with Jordan Brand. So Jordan Brand has expanded from basketball. They are now the University of Oklahoma football's jersey sponsor, and now moving into the football world as well. The Jumpman logo will be on the PSG jersey. Justin, you're a resident fashionista. Your thoughts?
Oh, this is a great move for Nike, for the Jordan brand, and for especially Neymar, because he's already a Jordan brand athlete. He hasn't been able to wear the Jordan cleat. It's something that hasn't really worked out for him because of the fit, but this will make sure that they collab more often, and this is just going to grow the Jordan brand beyond what you already know about it. It's already big, but it's going to be even bigger now that it's introduced in the world of soccer.
On to Spain, to Barcelona to be exact, and this is not news to anyone. A quote from Lionel Messi, "I need to improve from the penalty spot." Yeah, would have been nice if you would have figured that out before the World Cup. Appreciate it. Thanks. Everyone in Argentina is giving you the two-finger salute on that one. Thanks a lot.
Typical Argentina fan.
I know.
Exactly. Hey, he's missed 24 penalties in his career, and now Suarez is actually handling the PK duties for Barcelona.
You know, sadly, it really isn't his strong point. Even the greatest player of his generation, arguably one of them, has a weak point in his game still.
Can't argue with that.
We're all human.
Yeah, Argentines don't agree with that one. On to MLS. Philadelphia Union unveil a new mascot, Fang. Really? Come on, this is shades of like 1994, 98 MLS with the Tampa Bay Mutiny. Do you want Austin FC to have a mascot? Maybe a tree like Stanford has? How about an armadillo?
I think a sound wall from off MoPac.
Sound wall.
I think that would be our mascot.
I know the Bull were looking for a mascot, and they asked on Twitter what people thought. Grackle was a really popular response.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine if they had Grackle screeches piped in over the loudspeakers at the stadium?
That would be
think,
awesome.
I don't even think they'd need it out there. You just have
you
grackles.
Just have enough of them. It's like the birds. It is like the Hitchcock movie.
Yes.
You go there and look at those power lines. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, man, they're just waiting for you.
Finally, the best story of the week by far. If you missed it, oh, you were in for a treat. Leipzig of Germany has decided that they have now figured out a way to, well, assign a punishment for their players who have kind of done some things. They have the Wheel of Misfortune, as they call it, a novel way of keeping their squad in line. Rather than fines, a German club using the Wheel of Misfortune. There are 12 punishments included on the wheel, so you got to give me a second here, and you tell me which is the worst. First, ball assistant. You pump up the balls. You get them onto the pitch and clean them.
Oh, that kind of assistant. Okay,
yeah. That kind of ball assistant. Assistant academy coach. You have to train one of the academy teams on one of your free days.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
That does not sound that bad.
Stadium tour guide. You have to take them through the locker room, people that want to go on a stadium tour. There is a get lucky square, so there's no punishment there, much like in Wheel of Fortune. It's the opposite of going bankrupt. Greenskeeper, you have to mow and take care of the training pitch. Oh, this is good. Princess, you wear a pink jersey or a ballerina tutu.
So you have to wear a Manchester United kit? Is that what the punishment
right.
is?
That is what you're being told.
Okay.
The barman, you mix drinks ahead of training. That's probably that doesn't translate well from the German. This is filling water and things like
protein shakes.
Gatorade, exactly, before training.
Your kale and spinach.
You work in the fan shop, so you have to man a cash register in the fan shop. Kitchen service, you serve food in the cafeteria and clean the tables. the kit man, and no, that is not a reference to me. You take care of the dirty jerseys and help clean the boots.
You have to fly to Austin, Texas, and host a radio program on Sunday morning.
And drive me around. Team bus, you pack the bus with the balls, bags, everything else for the match day, for away match day. And finally, gifts for employees. You must purchase small gifts for all of Leipzig's 60 staff members. What is the worst of the 12?
Groundskeeper.
Groundskeeper?
Groundskeeper.
Oh, it's definitely the person that has to pack the bus on game day. I mean, you're just trying to get there and get ready to play, and here you are having to pack everybody's stuff for the bus and unload it?
See, I think it's the balls assistant, just because someone's going to have to call you the balls assistant for the day.
I'm going to a stadium tour guide. I guarantee you these guys know nothing about it. They're going to have to walk players around and be like, this is where we play soccer.
This is
where the fans sit.
I will say,
this is the stadium.
Don't overlook the fan shop gig, because you would have to learn how to use the register system. And I'm pretty sure most of these guys could care less about having to learn how to use it.
And Justin, you said you wouldn't want to be the kids coach for the day?
Would you want to be the kids coach for the day?
Here's the thing, though. Justin would not be allowed to be the kids coach for the day.
I am not going to comment on that. There's pending litigation.
Yeah,
but
I was going to say, that's untrue.
But... That's a myth. I was just thinking that it's not like you're coaching a kids club here in America. You're not going to have to deal with the crazy parents that are going to beat you up as the coach for not playing their kid. Like, it's still a professional organization.
Kids are still kids.
These little German kids.
Exactly.
As a former youth league coach, it's awesome. That would be so much fun. The kids would absolutely adore them. It'd be a lot of fun, and they'd probably be pretty good.
I guess they would listen to them because they are the big time player, and they're aspiring to beat them. So I guess it would probably be somewhat easy at that point.
And how cool would it be as a kid to say you got coached by like the superstar player?
That's true.
As a punishment. You know what? It's getting worse the more I talk, so I'm going to stop.
I know. If anything, they would waste more time just taking pictures with the coach.
And with that, we head to a basement in Aberdeen to check in with our friend, Alistair McAllister.
Hello, this is Alistair McAllister. So I've been thinking about ways to make my Austin FC supporters group, the McAllisters, stand out from the crowd. And I'm thinking that we need like a unique noise. You know how like Iceland have the Viking clap? And Leicester City have their clappers? Of course, South Africa have those vuvuzelas. And Manchester United fans have their own sound. So I've been thinking about some Austin noises that the McAllisters could adopt that would really bring the atmosphere of the city into the stadium. So we could try to recreate the sound of downtown Austin. Or the sound of I-35. And then there's the sound of Mopac. These are all great ideas. I'm sure you will agree. Let me know if you have any other suggestions. Back to you in the studio, Kit.
That was great, man.
How did he get his hands? Oh, my God.
Of a sound maker? I'm assuming the internet.
Alistair McAllister has production value, ladies and gentlemen.
That's not good for anyone. As we now go a lot higher brow, we head over to Justin with our college report.
All right. Well, the UT women, they just continue to roll. It was a tough one, though. It was a 2-1 victory over UT RGV. Two goals scored in the second half. Saw them through victory. They will be back in action at 5 p.m. here today at Mike A. Myers. The men of St. Ed's, they won 2-1. They'll be back in action on Thursday, as well as the women, as they had a victory this past Saturday.
That'll do it for us. Big thanks to Joe Houston, Liverpool fan, joining us in studio, as always, for the Smash Simmons, the Greek god, Zach Crusader Elitis. I'm Kit McConico. This is The Throw-In. Make sure you check us out on iTunes, The Throw-In ATX, and here every Sunday morning at 9. Have a great week, Austin. Enjoy the soccer. We will see you next week. Same time, same place on 104.9 The Horn, where Austin talks sports, where Austin talks soccer.